Helen, you said that you don't remember your father's parents at all, that you never met them. Would you tell me about
I probably met them, but I was too little to remember. Grandmother's name, I don't remember. I was too little to remember, but now my mother's name was Margaret, but they called her Maggie. You want her brothers? I don't remember all the brothers, but I know there was five or six brothers. There was Joe and James and Chris and Glenn. And that's as far as I can remember of those. Chris and Glenn, we were very close. They were near of an age. And my grandfather lived in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, how they got there, I don't know.
This is your great-grandfather.
That's my great-grandfather. And he married, and I can't recall her name without getting that piece of paper, he married this Kentucky Belle. And her folks disowned her. And then, but they married, and they migrated to Kansas. And then the girl's mother wouldn't stand for the father cutting her off of the estate, you know, because he had quite a plantation. So they estimated or divided the property up among her other brothers and sisters, and then they gave her share. And she bought quite a bit of property. I don't remember the name of the little town. Anyhow, they lived there for years. And then, as I say, she evidently was married several times.
After your great-grandfather died?
No. I don't know whether he died or they were separated. This is something I don't know. All I know is that she'd been married several times. And then when my own grandmother died, she left this little baby, this lady here. I showed you this picture.
Mm-hmm.
And this great-grandmother took her and raised her till she passed away. I don't know when she passed. But but this girl never lived with her father, my grandfather. She always lived with her great-grandmother, grandmother, who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can recall of that. But then going back to my own grandfather, my mother and father separated. I was too little to even remember about it. And I lived with my step-grandmother. I lived with my grandfather and step-grandmother. And there were two younger sons at home. There was Chris and Glenn.
Tell me about your grandfather.
My grandfather, he was a gentleman, and he was kind to children. You know, taking on little grandchildren, you know, it was quite a thing to do, but he was very kind to all of us, and he especially was kind to me, and I loved him with a vengeance. He had long red whiskers like they have today, you know. I have a grandson. I call him Grandpa because he looks like Grandpa with his red whiskers. And I always played in these whiskers. And I always, like I said, he never sat down. I wasn't in his lap. And we lived on it wasn't a farm. It was just a small plot of ground. We just had a two-room house.
Can you tell me about the house?
It was a two-room house. Built this way, two rooms. This was a kitchen, an eating place, and this was a bedroom filled with beds. And there was four of us children, and Grandma and Grandpa lived in this little two-bedroom house. But he had quite a bit of land, and he loved to garden or farm or whatever you call it. And he raised rows of sweet potatoes. He'd put them up on a ridge. And rows of peanuts. Now, those are the two things I can remember. Now, I'm telling you, I was about 5 years old. And when it come time to harvest them, I don't know how he plowed him out of there. But we kids and grandmother would go along and pick him out of the dirt, you know, and put him in pans. And that was the winter. And of course, he had vegetables. He had a vegetable cellar, and it was full of vegetables. Outside of Staples, we didn't have any chickens or anything like that, but outside, we didn't buy anything. We lived off of what he raised mostly, you know. Then when he got this team of horses, and I don't recall when he got those. I have no recollection. I just know that he got this team of horses. My uncle can tell you their names. And then he had this covered wagon, and he would start out during wheat harvesting time, and he'd follow the wheat harvesting with the team. Grandmother would cook for the harvest hands and us kids, and we little kids tagged along. I don't know what we were doing. Then they were building a railroad through Kansas.
You would all go with him as he was.
We'd all go with him in this covered wagon. And I don't know how many years that went on, but we'd maybe make two trips a year. And sometimes, as I said, they were building this railroad and they had to clear timber. Well, anyhow, we kids would play around while they were working with this team of horses. And whatever would be in season, he'd follow us with his team of horses. And they'd work the horses like it would be tractors today, but in those days they didn't have things like that. You want me to tell you some silly things?
Yeah, I'd like to know what it was like to.
Well, we little kids were supposed to try to pick up stuff for fire because they cooked out an open fireplace, and we had, I think they had a tent. We kids slept in the covered wagon. This is all I can remember that. And if it rained, my grandfather, we'd all have to get in the wagon, and grandfather said, now don't touch the tent, top of the wagon. There's four fingers went just like this through the top of the wagon, and wherever that stopped, there was a drip, drip, drip. He'd look back and he said, I told you not to touch it. Now, if he hadn't said anything, we wouldn't have thought of it. So he patiently gets out, puts the pan under it, and they never scold us under each drip. And we're plodding along the road. Well, anyhow, where we're camped at this one place, they were building this railroad, and they had to clear timber stuff out of there. And she had quite a few men to cook for, and they had this long boards spread out for table, you know. And she cooked, I don't know what she, meat or bacon or what, I don't know. I could think, stop it. And then she'd make hot biscuits, probably 3 inches around and maybe an inch and a half or more tall. Oh, they were the most delicious thing you ever ate in your life. And she'd make gravy with whatever she had there. But we had to try to find firewood, and the only lot of times we burned what they call cow chips.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to go pick those up. Shall I tell you the dirty part of it?
Sure.
Well, my brother and my uncle, my youngest uncle, they didn't want a little girl tagging around after them. But I tagged anyhow. So they'd say, oh, sis, here's a nice one. And I'd go pick it up and it's all soft. They'd get a whipping. The uncle here says I caused him to have more whippings. Well, anyhow, then we'd... Oh, I had a pet crow. You want to know that one? They found this crow had been injured somehow, and they give it to me to play with. And he sat on my shoulder, and everywhere I went, this dumb crow would go along. You know how they talk? You know? Well, he finally got so he could fly real good, you know, and all, but he stayed, always stayed with me. I don't know if we had his name. Anyhow, they begin missing. The men in the camp were missing their watches. And they were accusing everybody of who had their watch. Then all of a sudden my grandmother says, well, the silverware, what the kind they had, they didn't have good kind, but that was disappearing. And after I don't know how long period of time, my grandfather was, it was a slow day, might have been a Sunday. Anyhow, they weren't working and they were sitting around and he was smoking his pipe, looking up in the air. And he saw this bird fly through the air. It looked like he had something shiny in it, you know. They hold it in their claws or their bill. And he watched it, and it went way up in the tree. Now, he's curious what that bird had. So they got to watching him. Pretty soon, he'd come back, and whatever he'd go around, when, you know, he'd get another piece of silverware or whatever was shiny. Well, they climbed the tree to find him. They got up there where he had this stuff buried in a nest or something up in the top of the tree. They brought it down. I don't know how much they brought down, but all the men's watches, all the silverware, my silly crow had carried him up there. Anything that's shiny, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long I had him. Then we go from there, we go on to La Junta, Colorado. That was later. We would go to Pueblo, Colorado, and my grandfather had a bee farm up there in some mountain. Everybody was scared to death of the bees but me. But wherever my grandfather went, I went too. And when he went under this netting, I guess it was, I went too. I never got stung by the bees, but he dropped the bees. That would be part of our food, honey. We just had lots of honey. And, of course, now traveling along in a covered wagon, you don't have access to buying food. You carry it with you, and if he would buy, say, maybe he'd buy 100 pounds of flour, we'd carry that along, or whatever, bacon or whatever would keep, you know, and all. If we had nothing like that, the boys would go out and shoot quail. What's a prairie chicken? And what's that other bird that's quite, I can't think of the name of it. And one time they couldn't find anything and they killed a big rattlesnake. It had rattles probably that long. When grandfather cleaned the snake and all, and he gave me the rattle to play with. I had that rattle for years. And then they made steaks out of this rattlesnake. And as far as I can remember, it was delightful. Mm-hmm. And one time I got very ill. Now, what was wrong? I was just a little thing. I had to be around 5 years old, something like, maybe not that old. But I can remember, these are just things I can remember. And when I got terribly ill, he said I needed milk. Well, we were miles and miles from any farm home or a town, way out in the camp somewhere, maybe along creek, where we could get water. And he had this team of mares, and one of them's name was Jenny. I remember Jenny. And she had a little colt. How old the colt was, I don't know, but the little colt followed along, and she nursed the little colt. Well, grandfather, I was so sick, he goes down and milks the mare, and I lived on mare's milk for I don't know how long. That's why I'm so
thirsty. Now, was it the doctor that was there?
There was no doctor. No doctor. We were way out miles in the country somewhere. No doctor. My grandfather did that. And I got well. And then we little kids, while the team of horses were, they don't go very fast, you know. You're just plodding along. And the boys would count telephone poles. Well, I couldn't count. And when they'd get up to 89 or 90 something, I could count, too. 80, 40, 89. That's the way I counted. 80, 40, 89. Well, they shut me up. But we were walking. We'd walk behind the wagon. And then the wind would blow. And have you ever been in western Kansas?
No.
Well, the wind blows, and they have tumbleweeds that's probably 5-6 feet around and tall, big thing. And the tumbleweeds would be running, going down the road and hit a barbed wire fence along there. Well, this one was running. The kids told me, "Oh, catch that one, sis." I caught it. And I was tumbleweed things in my hair. Oh, I was telling them. I had blonde, curly hair. Well, the boys got whipping for that.
How many years did you live with your grandfather?
Well, to my knowledge, I lived with him until I was at least 9 years old, I would say. That's approximate. I'm not sure. But anyhow...
Did your mother ever talk about her childhood?
My mother died before I was 3 years old, so I would know nothing. There's one thing I can remember about my mother. And of course, that was after she was married to the second man. She played a guitar.
Now your grandmother is who died before you were born.
My grandmother died before I was born.
Okay, and your natural mother also died when
no,
you were born?
No, my natural mother died when my half sister was 3 or 4 years old. That's my mother's. It tells on her when she died. My half sister was born in
1981. 1905, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she died in 1905. And I was born in 98, so I was 7 years... Well, no, I was six. Yeah, my birthday was in May. I was six when she died. And all this, I'm telling you, took place long ere this ever happened. Because my sister was born November the 15th, and she died, December the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's my mother's oldest sister.
So you never had a chance to know your mother?
I knew. The only thing as I told you, that I can remember just spots of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember her playing the guitar, and oh, how I was loved. No, but that's all I can remember of her at all. Now this aunt, I remember her because this was long. I knew her for years after my mother died.
Well. So when you were nine and you stopped living with your grandfather, where did you go?
That's a terrible story. You aren't listening. I got it on there, have you? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't a fit story to tell. I told you before, my stepmother was a Maine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you were talking about where you went when you were 9 years old, how you left your grandfather's house.
Well, I was playing along the side of the road by the house, and my stepmother came by with her fancy horse and buggy, and she told me if I'd get in the buggy, she'd take me for a ride. Well, she didn't only take me for a ride, she stole me away from my grandfather. And he tried through the court to get me back, but of course the law said my father had prior, so I stayed with them then, and I don't my brother, I can't remember. Eventually, they got my brother, too. But they worked us to death. They were little kids, you know. But at any, now, how long I was there, I can't remember. But I would run away. Oh, they moved to town, too. And
what part of Kansas was this?
This is El Dorado, Kansas. And I'd never had a decent pair of shoes as a child. I'd wear anybody's old shoes, no matter what it was, no matter whatever kind of clothes they stick on. I mean, that's the way I went to school. And it's like I said, every chance I got, I ran away. And I went down to this aunt. She lived not too far from where we lived. And she had a bunch of children of her own, and she took in more shoes, you know, to live. But anyhow, they'd come down and get me, and then I'd get another with them. And finally, I don't know how long this went on, but the last time I ran away, my father whipped me. And then I ran away again. And this time, they got me back. But my aunt, waylaid my stepmother in her fancy horse and buggy and got a hold of the horsewhip. And she yanked her out of that buggy, and she horsewhipped her all over the road till somebody got a law, before she killed her. Well, now the law steps in. And we had a sheriff in El Dorado, and his name was Jolliffe, Sheriff Jolliffe. He had one little girl, and her name was Maureen. And his wife wasn't very well, but they took me in their home. They tried to send me to a reform school because I ran away all the time. But the judge, and of course the sheriff said, a little blonde, curly-headed, pink, complexion kid, well, you know, 8 or 9 years old, wasn't any reason to send to a reform school. So he kept me. I lived in his home for, oh, I would say months and months, till his wife passed away. Now, what was wrong with his wife, I don't know. But that Sheriff Jolliffe was absolutely fantastic to me. Then they wouldn't let my father have me. They wouldn't let my grandfather have me. So they sent me to State Orphans Home in Atchison, Kansas.
What was that like?
Fantastic. It was beautiful. I loved it. They were very good to me there, and I got to go to school, and I got to have decent clothes to wear, and I remember a lot of things that happened there. For instance, there were two colored girls. One was named Cynthia Bly, and the other one was named Lillian. Cynthia was tall and slender, and Lillian was short and heavy set. They took care of me like I was their baby.
They were girls who were living at the home.
They were girls there at the home, too. But they took care of me like I was a baby. They combed my hair. They'd play with me, you know, and if I would get sent to my room for something with nothing to eat, they'd sneak out something for me to have something to eat. They were good to me. Now, the superintendent of this orphan's home had one little daughter, and her name was, I don't remember. And she and I played together in school. So the mother would go with her little daughter, and they'd pick me out of the crowd and ask whoever my superiors was if I could go to their, they lived in an apartment in where the superintendent's building was, to play with their daughter. And and I would stay there some nights and all. Then we'd take long walks. Sometimes that we'd wind up down around by the bakery. Now, she's the superintendent's daughter, and I'm just a little kid in the crowd. But we'd a lot of times have Cynthia and Lillian with us because, as I say, they took care of me. And as we'd go down around the bakery, while these guys are working around the bakery, they would come out with I don't know who they had in a pan or in a hand or how that, of coconut, white coconut. And they'd give all of us white coconut, you know. Oh, that was delicious. And then before we'd leave, they'd give us pockets full or hands full of raisins. And then they'd say, come back so-and-so, we're going to bake another day, you know. Every time we go down through there, that's what they would do. And then I had a school teacher, her name was Miss Blue. And she was crippled, and she wore a shoe that had a platform on it, probably 6 inches. Boy, she was wonderful. I learned more from her. Oh, I learned a lot from her. And that, I lived there then, and then there was a man and this from Wasena, Kansas. They had never had any children, and they were almost in their 50s. And they lived on a little berry farm, and he wanted to get a little boy from the home to help him out on the farm work, and she didn't like little boys, and she wanted a little girl. Well, the instant that she saw me, she had to have me. Well, he was awfully good to me, but he wanted me to work out and hoe berries, and I couldn't hoe. My side would hurt, and I'd cry.
Okay, how old were you when you went to live with him?
About 11. I'd say I was around 10, about 11, I'd judge.
Do you remember what it was like when they came to get you? And
yeah, they brought me in this. They brought a whole bunch of us. The superintendent brought a whole bunch of us girls in for them to look at. But he set me up on his lap. Well, right away, I called her mother. She had to have me. Well, I went with them on all, and I liked her, and they were good to me.
How'd you feel about leaving the home?
I cried. I'd have just as soon stayed there. But at any rate, you have to do what the law says. So I broke something. I forgot what it was, and I was scared. I didn't know what they'd do to me, and I ran and hid in an old gravel pit along the side of the road by the Missouri River. Well, when they found me, I'm still crying. And she said, well, she wouldn't have punished me for it, but I didn't know she wouldn't. I was scared. Little kids, you know. Well, anyhow.
What were their names?
Adolphus and Pearl LeBounty. Their background, I don't know too much about them, but they were wonderful people. And I lived with them until I was married.
What was the house like that you lived in with them?
We lived out on a little farm, a little 11-acre farm, and it was a berry farm. I didn't mind picking the berries. I could pick berries with the rest of them. But I couldn't hoe. And that was where the problem came in. And So I decided I wanted to go back to the home because I wasn't going to hold. Well, they took me back. And this little girl, I can't remember, oh, she cried. She was so happy to see me. And Mr. Wilson, I can remember his name. And he said, if I didn't want to go back, I didn't have to. They'd see that I'd been taken care of. Well, Grandpa promised that, we always called him Grandpa, that he wouldn't insist that I hold. I didn't, as I said, I didn't mind picking the berries, and I had a big, they got me a collie dog, a big collie dog where we lived out on this farm. And wherever you saw Helen, you saw the dog. And I was about 14, I imagine. But I had that dog for years and years.
What was the dog's name?
Don. I don't remember what it became of him. He died. Oh, I do too. I think he got caught in a barbed wire fence. He had a collar on, and he twisted till he killed himself, you know. But we lived down. These were girls that I knew when I was still living with those people. I don't think there's a picture of the house in there, though. Might be. But anyhow, we lived there on that little farm until he was getting up in years and he couldn't farm, so he was a salesman more than a farmer, you know. So they moved to town.
What did he sell?
Apples. He would go out and sell carloads of apples through wherever he'd go. I don't know where he always went. A lot in Kansas, sometimes in other states. I don't recall. I don't remember. But and then we had grapes and blackberries and blackcap raspberries. Oh, just wonderful. Oh, they were marvelous, you know. And, of course, it was a little farm, and they had chickens and all that kind of stuff. And I lived there with them then until, I went into nurse's training when I think I was 16. But I never was a strong. I had so much ear trouble when I was, and in nurse's training in those years, you had to do a lot of things besides just nurses. You had to clean rooms, and you had to shake rugs and all that. But the work was too hard, and I had nosebleeds, always had nosebleeds all my lifetime, and I had these terrible nosebleeds. And two different times, I was bending over a patient, and I spurted blood all over them, so I had to give it up. I was in the probation training 6 months, but I never got into the... I passed it all, but they just wouldn't accept me to go on because of the nosebleeding. So I gave that up, and then I worked. I went to business school in Kansas City, and I graduated as a stenographer, you know. And then I worked at a Wyeth hardware store for, maybe a year or two.